is your disapproval of the use of the gift that God has given you. You won't inherit all things unless you use and approve and manifest these things. You will notice that the revelation of Jesus Christ, given in the first chapter of Revelation, his body cannot be seen. His face, his head, his feet, his hands, but his body is clothed. The church, which is his body, and he covers that up. It's very wonderful, because we're not there to look at ourselves, but at him. But nevertheless, the body must function properly as a perfectly normal part of God's functional system. And it's very, very wonderful. And God has begun to demonstrate it amongst us here. Now, I wish to give you some instruction regarding the function of the gifts that you have heard in the room this morning. You must understand that the greatest of all gifts is prophecy, because it has the greatest functional capacity to upbuild the body. On the stream of prophecy, all the other oral gifts operate, whether they be words of wisdom, words of knowledge, tongues or interpretations, or an utterance concerning the discernment of a spirit, or any ministry of the word or preaching, or psalms or hymns or spiritual songs. They must all operate and function upon the stream of prophecy. Because prophecy is the unpremeditated, hitherto possibly unthought of, utterance direct from God. That is, it has not been premeditated or prepared in the heart or mind of the person beforehand, as of itself, though the heart and the mind of the person has previously been prepared in a new way in the spirit to function as God wants it to function, that is, independently of the human spirit itself, and as springing from all human understanding and functioning only as of and in and through and unto ultimately God. Now this is the wonder of it all. And to explain that which has been spoken among us this morning, I want you to turn with me to the Ephesian and the Corinthian letter. The first Corinthian letter, the Ephesian letter, and then we will look a while into the Old Testament. In the first Corinthian letter, you will read this. If all prophesy, verse 24 of 1 Corinthians 12, 14, sorry, I'm assuming that you know these scriptures. You must familiarize yourself with them so that anybody who utters any time, you know where it's found. You know what he's talking about. You must do it. You must not depend on so-called weekends or conferences or things like that. You must do it yourself. Take that as a charge from God. I am not giving you advice. I am speaking to you in the Spirit. Or if all prophesy, verse 24, and there come in one that believeth not, or one unlearned, he is convinced of all. He is judged of all. And thus are the secrets of his heart made manifest. And so, falling down on his face, he will worship God and report that God is in you of a truth. Now, this must not be mixed up with some fellow, because he's got some form of discerning what's in others, standing up and bawling him out about some secret sin that he's got in his heart, or turning into a prophecy and making a sham and a show and a mockery of that which God has given in sweetest love to upbuild the body. It is the jamming in of clanging, brassy human things that can be tampered with by evil spirits to give some form of knowledge. The secrets of a person's hearts have been made bare in this room this morning. That is, the secret yearnings and longings of their spirits have been touched on. Is that right or wrong? That's right. You think this is a word of knowledge or something. You must not get mixed up in your mind. You must come out of your human mind. I presaged my remarks by telling you that the human heart and mind has to be prepared beforehand, so that it does not come from the human mind, or any powers of penetration, observation, or what it is that a person may have. Naturally, God will not have that at all. All right, now, verse 26. How is it then, brethren? There's your question. How is it? Fine, thank you. Do you ever think of answering God's questions? How is it then, brother? Or, turn it another way, how does it function then, brother? That's right. How is it that this can be, beloved? This is what the Lord is saying. Listen, this is how it can be. When you come together, now take this seriously. I am not giving you advice. I told you that this was a word of instruction from God. When you come together, every one of you have a psalm. Not they've got to start searching for it, you've got it. Is that right? And you must not add to the scripture by saying every one of you ought to have it. This is what God wills. He says you have. All the time you persist in putting yourself outside of it by adding little riders or provisos in your mind, you are deceiving yourself out of what God has stated as basic spiritual truth that's functioning in the hidden body. All right. Every one of you hath a psalm, hath a doctrine, hath a tongue, hath a revelation, hath an interpretation. Let all things be done. Let all these be done. Psalms, doctrines, tongues, revelations, interpretations. Let them be done. That's a church gathering where things are done. Unto edify. Now that eliminates the first thing I told you about. Somebody standing up and bawling out because they've discovered by some sensory powers they have that there's somebody got sin somewhere, something like that. That's not edification. That doesn't build up the body. It'll frighten a lot of people and destroy some. It won't build up. Let's go on, shall we? Into Ephesians. We're here to build up one another in love. This is it, Ephesians 4. The saints, that's you and me, verse 12, are to be perfected for the work of the ministry. Now you're to be perfected for this very thing that I've been talking about. For the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all arrive in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, and your perfect man. Isn't that lovely? Mm-hmm. But if you don't come and let all these things be done, you will be helping to destroy the revelation of Jesus Christ that God gave to him. And he sent and signified it unto the churches through his apostle John. You notice that it came through the great apostle of love. You then are to give yourselves to this. Turn over into the next chapter, and in the fifth chapter we are told that we're to awake if we're asleep, verse 14, we're to arise from the death of non-functional squatting about in meetings, and Christ will give you light and he'll show you which way to walk and how you have to function. And see that you don't walk as fools. You're to walk circumspectly, verse 15. And you're to be wise. And you're to redeem the time. If you've lost an opportunity this morning, you'll not get it back. That's true. You're to redeem the time. Time is unredeemed. It's that part of eternity which has not been redeemed, but it's not beyond redemption. By the church, that's the point. Time has to be redeemed by the church. A tremendous thing. We must not lose an opportunity. Every minute is valuable in the hands of the Spirit for the perfecting of your character and life into the full image of the perfect manhood of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It wouldn't dare be thought of this unless the Spirit had said it. Amen. Wherefore, verse 17, don't be unwise, but you're to understand what the will of the Lord is. I want to ask you a question. Take that word which I altered in saying, that word understanding. Are you an understanding person? Are you an understanding person? There aren't a lot of understanding people about. You will always find them because nearly everybody else makes a beeline for them because they are understanding. That's why they made a beeline for Jesus. Understanding what the will of the Lord is. All right? You think you do? We've expressed some of it. Now then, and be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled. You know what the present tense is here. Be being filled at this moment. That's why you can always come out with a hymn or a psalm or a spiritual song or a revelation. Being filled. Absolutely filled. Be being filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Now you provide the music for this in your own heart. We have had a spiritual song in this room this morning. Did you know? Did you hear it? You know who uttered it? I'll name the person if you like. Person in this room this morning uttered a spiritual song. So, wasn't anybody singing? Exactly. It says the melody's in the heart. He said, well, it can't be a song unless they're singing. Oh? All right. Go back to the Old Testament. We'll see. Will you believe the Bible? And that'll stop you having to be deafened by somebody thumping a tambourine and yelling in your ear because they're supposed to be singing. Because they've got worked up along a long line. Along a wrong line. And the book I want you to look at, it follows the book of Ecclesiastes, which follows the book of Proverbs, which follows the book of Psalms. And the book that follows the book of Ecclesiastes is called the first verse. The Song of Songs. And what do you do with it? You read it. It was a song in this man's heart that wrote this. It was melody. You want to understand this, unless you perhaps have an artistic nature. I don't know. But words are melodies to some people. There was a famous preacher named Ezekiel, and this is what God said to him. The collapse of Israel ultimately was this, that they said, he said to him, Ezekiel said, Ezekiel, you're just as a pleasant song to these people. They love to hear these glorious prophetic utterances. You're just like a pleasant song to them. A painting is melody. Did you know that? It's just another way of looking at it. A song of songs. And if you like, I'll name the person so you know who it is. It was our sister Pamela that gave us a spiritual song. And that's why when you hear somebody prophesy in the prophetic vein and it changes, say, from Lord as though God's speaking to you, then it's the church speaking back and then the Father saying something, that's what you'll find in the Song of Songs. The bride, bridegroom talks, all in the same revelation. The daughters of Jerusalem talk, it's all there, answering back to and fro. That's a spiritual song. We've had it. Amen. It was melody to me. Psalms? Well, I had a psalm earlier. I often and prophecy. I don't sing them. You see, we've been so brought up to go to and set the chant tunes in the churches of England sort of thing, we think that's psalms. David did appoint singers to sing them. Hallelujah. But psalms, and I'll tell you this, my psalm was in the Song of Solomon. It was on the same basis as the Song of Solomon. This, it all lived and rose up in my heart from the start of the meeting that I controlled my spirit. Bit of a job, but I did. Amen. Say, well, you're telling us we mustn't hold back. Well, of course, because I never do. That's it, you see. You, I restrain mine. You've got to make yours come. You've got to stir it up without being frantic and fleshy. Just sweetly moving in the whole spirit of the gathering. For the spirit of the gathering is the Holy Spirit. He unites us into one. He makes us move along this life. He gives continuity to it all. When the Spirit of God you don't find jarring elements, you don't find contrary cross currents. You find that we all prophesy one by one, amen, all comes. Glory, glory, glory. And there is an upbuilding. Somebody adds a bit here, someone adds something there, someone adds something else. And this is the way the Lord wants it all to go. So we'll turn back to the Song of Songs, which is Solomon's. And it was here that the Lord first began to speak. Chapter 2. Verse 8. The voice of my beloved. Behold, he cometh, leaping upon the mountains, skipping upon the hills. My beloved is like a roe or a young hart. Behold, he standeth behind our wall. He looketh forth at the windows, showing himself through the lattice. My beloved spake and said unto me, rise up, my love, my fair one, and come away, for lo, the winter is past, the rain is over, and gone, the flowers appear on the earth, the time of the singing of birds is come, and the voice of the turtle is heard in our land, turtle dove of course. The fig tree putteth forth her green figs, and the vines with the tender grapes give a good smell. Arise, my love, my fair one, and come away. So you see, the flowers are appearing on the earth. The time of the singing of birds is come, and verse 14, you're his bird, you're his dove. Why aren't you singing? You're his dove, his love, his fair one, and you won't sing. Is the long dark night of winter still upon your soul? Is the cold, chilly snow and ice and the lacing rains still with you? Winter's gone. It's gone. It's time for all the birds to sing. That's why he's looking over your wall and peeping through your lattice and showing himself. Hallelujah. It's time for you to start singing, my love. Oh, everybody else is singing. Hallelujah. Oh, my dove, thou art in the cliffs of the rock, in the secret places of the stairs. Let me see thy countenance. Let me hear thy voice. For sweet is thy voice. And thy countenance is comely. Let me see thy face. You see, I cannot see thy face a bit. Then let me see thy face and die. And listen, he did die to see thy face. You use the blessed imagery of a poet of the spirit. But this is no immaturity. He did die to see thy faith. Glory. He says, now let me see thy face. You've got to die to all your tender little lovey-dovey things. I want to protect yourself. All this business about somebody will think I'm in the flesh, or I haven't got a word, or something of this. What does it matter? You poor thing, so tender to the opinions of others, so hard against Jesus. Wicked, vicious, hard, heart and spirit you are. Die and see his face alone. And don't care whether everybody else frowns. As long as you have his approval. So I thought it was for the upbuilding of everybody else. Yes, but that's just a sort of an automatic thing. You minister first to Jesus, and the rest get the blessing. See, the body's hidden. It's yours to see his face in the midst of the churches, not the body. The body's there, all right. You're the two body conscious. There's a great sort of upsurging about body this, body that, body the other in these days. Let's have some face and head, shall we? You minister to him. It's a sweet love match between Jesus and you.
Yeah.
It's the opening of your heart in the presence of your brothers and sisters. And if you can't, shame on you. Well, I'm not made like that. Then let him make you again, and you will be. He does make people again. Amen. That's his speciality. You're a poor robber of churches. Say, well, I've never stolen any cathedral, and that's not what I'm talking about. I've never taken money out of the offering box, that's not what I'm talking about either. You're a robber of churches. You sit and take and take and take and take, and you take it out with you every week. Well, what's that? Taking. That's stealing. If you don't pay for it. It'll cost you everything to give it. Who was it told us this morning? The Lord, through a yielding voice, cost you everything. Hallelujah. All right. Let's read further, shall we, in this great song. Verse 8 of chapter 4, sorry. Verse 7. Thou art all fair, my love. There's no spot in thee. Some are too concerned about their spots. It's far worse to have a spot inside than on your face. Some are far too concerned about their spots. You're not to be concerned about them. He says, thou art all fair, my love. There's no spot in thee. Come with me from Lebanon, my spouse. With me from Lebanon. Look from the top of Oman, from the top of Shina and Hermon, from the lion's den, from the mountains of the leopard. That's where he skips on the mountains. He's like a young roer, a hart. Leopards can't touch him. Lions can't touch him. Hallelujah.
Thou, he says, hast ravished my heart, my sister, my spouse. Now listen to this glorious language of Jesus. Thou hast ravished my heart with one chain of thy neck, with one of thine eyes, with one chain of thy neck. Just a little bit of you, just sufficient. You overwhelm Jesus, but you don't believe it. You don't believe it. If you'd only believe God, just one of your eyes, and you've got two. Isn't it marvelous? A double portion of joy and blessing and love for Jesus for you to look. Just to look at it, think of it, think of it. Just one chain of thy neck. It's a blessed slavery when he's held in such chains. He loved you. He loved you. You've never believed it, have you? Not like this. How fair is thy love, my sister, my spouse. How much better is thy love than wine. That's what he said. I won't drink any more of the fruit of the vine till I drink it new, you with the kingdom. He's got the love of his bride. He's got it. But fair to him that we love him, that we love him. Oh, glory. If only you knew. If only. And the smell of thine ointments with all spices, thy lips, O my spouse, drop as an honeycomb to him. Honey, milk, or under thy tongue to me. That's where I find them. And the smell of thy gods, it's like the smell of the great wide open spaces. Level. Hallelujah. Glory. A garden enclosed is my sister, my spouse. A spring shut up. A fountain sealed. Thy plants are an orchard of pomegranates with pleasant fruits. Camphor, spikenard, and saffron, calamus, cinnamon, all trees of frankincense, myrrh, aloes, all the chief spices. I'm beggared for words, I can't say any more. See, you're incomparable. I can't tell you how wonderful you are. You're a fountain of gardens. You might have thought it was a garden of fountains. That's more important, appropriate. You know, well, a garden with lots of fountains. But he says you're the fountain from which all gardens come.
Yes.
What do you think of it? What do you think of it? This is Jesus' language to you. You're the fountain of all gardens. Garden of Eden. Garden of Gethsemane. Garden of Resurrection. For you know he was laid in a garden where the tomb was. That right? That's true. Yeah. The garden, the paradise. You're the fountain of them all. In other words, all
impossible delights and loveliness and beauties and scents and growths and joys, there I find them all in you. My delight is at you. This is what he says. Fountain of gardens, a well of living waters, glory be to God. He's putting in you what we find in him. Streams of Lebanon. And so on. Now I know we could go on and elaborate on all this. I tell you that which God started to build up in my heart from the beginning. But some of you still are garden enclosed and your springs all shut up. You're still loving her. You're still wondering. What you really need is a proper understanding and entrance into Calvary. That's what you really need. Isn't some anointing you're needing? It's a proper entrance into an understanding of Calvary. Everything in it was broken down. Everything. Water flowed out, his blood flowed out, his tears rained down, his cries came, love flowed, everything in him was broken down, flesh was broken down, everything. That's right. Flow out. That's what you need. Death to self. Death to me, Father. Death to me. Death to me. That's what Paul said. He sees that death works in me. That life may work in me. That's right. That's how it is. Life will work in the body when death is working in you. And breaking down the removing of all seals, removing of all shut-upness, removing of all barriers. He says, my bones are poured out like wax. You read about it in Psalm 22. Everything. His bones were poured out. That's why we're members of his bone. One. Now the Lord wants you to function like this. In an utterly abandoned manner. Utterly. An outflowing manner. There's never a greater exhibition than Calvary of it all. And if you live there, and that's why Paul says, I always bear about in my body this Calvary. It's always here. It was the secret of his spontaneity. It was the secret of his ministry. It was the secret of his love. It was the secret of his compassion. Secret of his apostleship. It was the secret of everything. Hallelujah. And he always lived and always overcame. Amen. We had all things. Now you are his love. He says, let me hear thy voice, my dove. If all the birds are singing, why haven't you been singing? It's the time for it. Now I know there are times when God catches us all up in a wonder and we're in silence with God. That's fine. I often get there. But if it lasts for 2 Sundays and 3 Sundays and 2 months and 2 years, there's something gone wrong. Yeah. Has he ever showed himself through your letters? Has he ever looked through your wall? companion to lure you out from your lattice, bring you out from behind your wall. That's right.
Come with me, my love, my fair one. Come with me to Sheena, to Hermon, to Lebanon, the mountains of the leopards, the dens of the lion. Come and see where I skip on the mountains, like a young roe and a young hart. Fly to my bosom. Come and see my secret, and I reveal my secrets to thee. We'll be all together, lovely. Wonderful. Be mine. That abandonment, skip on a piece the size of a half crown on top of a pinnacle. That's abandonment. That's being alone with Jesus. Here. When you get up there, you find some mountain spice. The more you skip, the more the spices will flow. Hallelujah. This is abandonment, this is love, this is nectar, this is better than wine. He says, I find honey under your tongue. That's where it is. Glory, I want you to speak it out. That's where it is. He says, I find milk under your tongue. I want you to flow. Oh, come on, beloved. We needn't have any lunch. Yes, sir, we can. Don't worry about the time. I tell you, it's 20 to 1. Really, if possible. Yes.